Hello. Hello.
Good morning, this is Barbara.
Hi,
Barbara.
Barbara,
It's
it's Lori.
Hi,
Good
Lori. Hi,
morning.
Bill.
Good
It's
morning. Good
Cecilia,
morning.
too. Good
Hi,
morning. Hi,
Cecilia.
Cecilia. It's not as smoky as it's been.
No, it's great. I don't believe that Iggy will be joining us today. He's dealing with some family medical issues that are taking up his time.
Oh, sorry to hear.
Do you would it could we chip in and send flowers as a cheering up thing for
And
the
there he
family?
is. He's joining.
Count me in.
Oh. Good
Oh.
morning, Iggy.
Good morning.
Hi, Iggy.
Good morning. So, let's see. I guess we have everybody except for Mike. And Simone.
But they must be there because they connected the call.
Well, while we're waiting, I'll let you know that I took Susie in for what we thought might be a stroke yesterday, but it turned out that they gave her a CT scan and an MRI and diagnosed it as Bell's palsy. So she'll just have a crooked smile for a while, I guess.
Oh,
And anyway.
I'm so sorry, Iggy. It's just one
Yeah.
thing after another.
Yep. So Mike, you're there. Is Simone there?
Yes,
Yes.
Simone's Tim's there, and Simone's there. We need one of those wide-angle fisheye cameras.
Right. Well, so it's 9:02, and I'm calling the regular meeting of the Board of Directors of the Cambria Community Healthcare District to order September 17th, 2020. We're going to forego the Pledge of Allegiance, and we have established a quorum with all directors present. Are there any members of the public present that would like to comment on any subject not on the agenda? Hearing none, I'll continue to the consent agenda with one item, the approval of the minutes from the August 27th, 2020 regular board meeting.
I move approval of those minutes.
Second.
Okay. Simone, you want to take a roll call vote?
Yes. Iggy Fetterall?
Yes.
Bill Rice?
Yes.
Barbara Bronson Gray?
Yes.
Cecilia Montalvo?
Yes.
Lori
Okay.
Millior?
Yes.
All right, so we have unanimous consent to the approval of the minutes from August 27th. You might wonder why I didn't include the September 8th minutes, and that's because Mike reminded me when I asked him to do that 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 should be in the October agenda. And I said, oh, okay. So even though we did have another meeting, we will bring that up for approval at next month's meeting. Okay, moving on to the operations report. Tim, is there anything that you'd like to highlight in your report?
The only thing that I got to highlight on my report is I'm still waiting to hear back from Zoll on what the cost of that repair of the monitor is going to be. And things are moving forward with the Project Heartbeat and the emergency equipment uniform. We should be able to have the order in by the end of next week.
Okay, and with regards to Zoll, they're not standing on their 15th of September proposal validity, are they?
No, they've extended it. They're working with us because they understand that we're dealing with FEMA and trying to get the grant letter and everything else. So they're willing to work with us on that.
Okay, and for the rest of the director's information, Mike has been in close contact with our point person at FEMA, and they're trying to get us an approval to go ahead and lease the four monitors, and then if they approve the acquisition, that we can then go ahead and acquire those with the grant money, the two of them, and then Zoll would reduce the monthly payments on the remaining.
I sent in what's called a pre-award letter for that process, and as soon as they respond approving that pre-award letter, then we're good to go. That's been there now for about 2 weeks, and normally it takes about a week to get that approval. So I've been encouraging them almost pretty much daily, connecting with my contact, and he's actually kicked it up to his supervisor, and I sent them another email this morning and waiting to hear back on the status of that process, as well as our whole entire process. They're kind of checking on the status of both of our AFG applications collectively. So hopefully I'll hear back from them before the end of the week.
Hey, do any directors have any questions for Tim?
How are we doing on transports in the month of September?
We did 39 transports, which is actually lower than normal.
As of today?
Let me go pull it up for you. I'll go look. Should have done that.
It'll only take a second or two. It's in my report. I refer to the kind of it's been trending, presumably related to the COVID crisis. Call volume continues to be below par compared to last year, but at the same time, revenue is above par. So kind of an interesting dichotomy there.
I have a question about that, Mike, either for you or for Bill. As I was thinking about that when I was reading your report, it sounds like our billing process and improved cash flow are what's creating revenue in excess of prior year. But, and I'm not as accustomed to cash accounting, but it feels to me as though this is going to catch up with us. Maybe that's why Bill keeps asking about volumes, that eventually if our transports were down 40%, which is I think what I read, is cash flow 60 days from now likely to be a problem?
The answer to that is possibly yes, Cecilia. What we have done to kind of mitigate that in the budget, we have depressed our revenue for the first quarter of this year, mm-hmm. the months of July, August, and September, because we knew with COVID that our projected revenue was down. But yes, normally cash flow would start to get impacted, but it appears that Mike and Simone, using the new billing system, have been more aggressive in collecting the revenue that we've been billing compared to our previous vendor. So it's kind of good news and bad news, and I want to believe in the end that it will all even out.
Thank you.
Tim's got your, thank you for that. That's helpful. And Tim's got your number, so
So since the first of the month of the month of September, we've had a total of 21 transports already.
Okay, so that's going to give us a high 30s, low 40s number for the month, if the projections hold.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions for Tim? Okay, just FYI, we're going to try a different transport activity report format next month to see if board members like it. It will be instead of, instead of about 7 or 8 pages, it should be about 2 pages. And it will have, the report will be absolutely sequential, and it will differentiate between nighttime calls and daytime calls as it currently does, but it will also add in the dry runs, and they will be distinguished, hopefully, with italics. And so at the top of the report, where right now it shows total transports 39, for example, it'll show total activity, and it'll also show total transports. So you'll be able to compare, just by looking at one sheet, the dry runs, the night calls, and the transports. The other thing that it will insure against is a missed call, because they will be sequential. If there is a number missing, that will tip off Tim and Mike to go look and see what's cooking and why there was a blank. Right now, if there's a blank, you'd have to look at about 3 or 4 different sheets of paper to make sure that it wasn't a missed call. Anyway, we'll show you that next month, and if you like it, we'll go with it.
Is there some way that we could also distinguish between a dry run that was known to be a dry run by the call, such as a falling out of bed assist or something like that?
I think Tim can address those in his report, just like he would address where we exceeded the county mandated time limits.
What I'm thinking is, when my sense is that if it's known that it's simply or most likely an assist, if the transit time is slightly longer, we would absolutely understand that, as opposed to if it was not known. So it might be good to see that at the same time that we're seeing the transit times. If you know what I'm saying.
You mean like if there was an extended on-scene time but no transport? Is that what you're talking about?
Right. So it's a dry run, but it took 20 minutes. But the dispatcher said that the reason for the call was clearly non-emergent or semi-emergent.
Well, that's where he needs to address. Tim would need to address, just like he does now in his report, each one that exceeded the
exceptions. Time. They would be exceptions, and he would address those appropriately. But so that
let's try.
Well, what I'm thinking is that the number of dry runs every month are fairly high for that level of detail. I don't think the board personally needs to have every dry run addressed if it was known that it was most likely a situation that didn't require great speed or if it was known to be non-super emergent.
Every dry run won't be addressed. They will be listed, but they'll only be addressed if there's some issue.
What are you thinking, Barbara, as far as addressing those or flagging them somehow by, if they were on scene greater than 15 minutes and it was a dry run, that there should be a star or, a flag to that? Or what are you thinking of? How would you like to see it?
I'm trying to keep it simple, and from my understanding, if it's known to be, say, a patient assist, and it seems that whether it's 15 minutes or 20 minutes is not the same medical issue for us as if we do. To me, I don't want to. It seems if in your judgment it was known not to be an emergency, then I don't think we should take up Tim's time giving additional details. I think knowing that it was known to be okay to take a little more time to get there, you know, for the patient, then I think it shouldn't be a focus of ours.
No, I agree. And Tim has that discretion to look at, you know, the calls. He reviews the calls in his QA anyway, and he would have that discretion to say, you know, of these, let's just say there was 15 dry runs, there's one that was an exceptional one that I need to comment on. The rest were just routine, you know, not emergent or less than that. So that's he's able to filter that and have discretion in his QA process, and then he can choose the ones that he feels appropriate that the board may have to, you know, want to know about. You know, they were on scene for an hour and didn't transport. Okay, well, here's the explanation why. You know.
Okay.
That would Thank be something you. That would be of interest to a board member.
Okay. Any other questions for Tim? Tim, do you want to add anything? Okay, moving on to.
I just wanted to give you guys a quick update. The paperwork has been submitted to the county for the CAL FIRE ambulance, but we're waiting for them to have. They have to have two meetings that they read the announcement. As long as there's no objections, and it should move forward. But we're going to have a little bit of a hiccup with all the fires that are going on. The unit will have to be demobbed. And with all of the mechanics out trying to keep fire engines where they need to be, it's going to probably take a little longer to get the ambulance to us. But everything is set for that right now, and I'll keep you guys abreast as information comes into me.
But we're not going to pay anything until we take possession.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that may work out. I'll address that in my president's comments.
And they've done the first reading already, so we're just waiting on the second reading. As far as that process, the first reading has already occurred.
Okay, Mike, your administrator's report and financial review. If you want to hit any highlights,
you have my administrator's report. I updated the COVID numbers as of last week. It hasn't changed a lot in the last few days. Slight tick, but mostly fairly flat. The kind of stuff you're already familiar with.
Mike, I have a question with regards to the SEIU MOU. Last month, Barbara said some document needed to be updated, I think a resolution. And you and Bill were supposed to work on that. Not our Bill, but Bill Avery.
Right. That has not occurred yet. We're still working on it. We had a correction that we've been working on. We're focusing on. There was a contradiction once we looked at the ratified agreement, and we were making the payroll changes and adjustments. There was a contradiction. One paragraph, it had to do with vacation accrual. One paragraph said that it was to be awarded, the accrual was to be awarded annually, what they call front loading at the beginning of the fiscal year. The next paragraph down said that it would be accrued monthly, which has been the common practice for the last couple of years. So you can't have it both ways, obviously. So we went back to the union and we've gone back and forth with emails. And just as of this morning, we resolved it. So we're working on some language for that. So that was our focus. Once that's accomplished, then we can do that other document.
So it's going back to accruing monthly?
Yes, that's what has been determined is the appropriate thing to do is to keep it the way it's been the last couple of years and then have it accrue monthly.
All right.
But we had to address with that first before we could do the other thing. So that should be on next month's report that's been accomplished or prepared.
And so that resolution will have to come. the resolution will have to come to the board for approval.
Yes.
I believe so. Yeah, and that'd be next month.
Okay.
We'll have that ready for next month.
Any board resolution is a board member vote.
Right. Yeah, we'll have that prepared for next month. Okay. Just making note of self. But all the payroll changes have been implemented, so we're all caught up with that. Thanks to Tim and Simone getting everything dialed in. Payday was 2 days ago, and that was their first new paycheck. So that's all done. The community survey has been posted on our website, et cetera. So that's all taken care of. There is a note there related to that project that there is a meeting has been set up with CHC administration on the 24th at 1 o'clock here. Cecilia's and I've been talking about that, so that's in the works. They're wanting to just have a conversation to explore the possibilities or potential for them being lack of a better word, a partner in that project. So it's just an exploratory meeting at this point, just to have a conversation.
Mike, is this a meeting that the Healthcare Advocacy Committee will be at?
Cecilia and I talked about this, so she's not, yeah, I believe so. That's what
yes.
We finally figured it out, because it was kind
that
of-
That is right. We had some confusion, but I think it's
yeah.
that is the attendees will be the committee. With Mike.
Yes. Yeah. So and then there was another little piece to that project I told Cecilia about. I also briefed Iggy about it a little bit on, the board had asked me to contact the Big Sur Health Clinic and just talk to them about how they run their show. And I did have a great conversation with their administrator, their CEO up there. They run a primary care clinic and urgent care for the Big Sur community. And they're very willing. She was very helpful, and she's willing to talk with us, give us any information we have about how they run their finances. They're not a healthcare district. They are run as a FHC under license. Oh, thank you. Wrong acronym. FQ, yeah.
That federally qualified healthcare clinic.
Thank you. And so they survive financially on their patient billing and donations from grants and so forth as their funding source. They are not tax supported in any way. So anyway, that was just another piece to the puzzle, and we'll see where all that goes. Financial reports, my report
Mike, before you go, before you go any further with the survey, I know the article got submitted to some news organizations, but I haven't seen
yes.
it posted like on open forum. So I'm wondering if we could do that as well.
Post it where?
Facebook.
Like on Facebook,
yes,
open forum, and also in
yeah.
Nextdoor.
Yeah, I can do that. I'll take care of that. I sent it to all the news agencies. It was actually, I saw one, the Cambria CA online newspaper did publish it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think last Thursday, I believe. So it's on their
yep.
Web newspaper. I haven't seen the other newspapers to see if it made it in there or not. I'll have to pick up the Cambrian and the other one. But I did send it out to all of the local news agencies. But I'll put it on social media as well.
Okay, thanks.
Just as an aside, I don't know how many of you actually get the Cambrian. And I don't know how many of you may know Nate Ferrance. But the Cambrian has published a picture of supposedly one of our few black men in our community as a white man. So that'll be kind of interesting to see how they resolve that in the Cookie Crock ad that's on the back of the paper.
What do you mean they photoshopped him?
They just simply published a picture of some guy who is not Nate, but called it, here's Nate. Oh, he's shopping the cookie crock. He's, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
So was it that it was a different person?
Yeah, it was a different person.
Oh, okay. Because it sounded like it was related more to ethnicity than it was to.
They said, here's Nate.
Well, I just think it's rather odd that Nate is one of our few men of color in this community, and yet the cookie crock ad shows a white man who is not Nate. Anyway.
Anytime a newspaper publishes the wrong photo with the wrong photo and name, I think it's a problem.
Yeah, and the reason I bring that up is that if the Cambrian doesn't publish this article signed out by Cecilia, well, there's just another example of our wonderful newspaper here. You did send it to the Trib though, right? Mike?
Yes, I did. I sent it to the Tribune, the Estero Times, and the Cambrian, and the New Times also.
Okay. All right, and then you're going to post it on Nextdoor,
all of those.
Happy Hill, and also on Facebook, Cambria Open Forum.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and my Nextdoor account, I actually got it upgraded to a public safety account so that it, when I post, it goes to all of the neighborhoods, not just mine.
Oh, good.
So it's, it hits the whole area. Yeah.
I have a question, Mike.
So, William,
Mike?
Go ahead, Barbara.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I have not seen anything yet about your work in taking that outreach plan that we approved and actually getting some attention to our trust.
I will address that in my comments.
Advertising.
I will address that in my comments.
Okay, because we had it in the plan for September to start ramping that up a little bit.
I'll address it.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions relating to the survey? The financial reports as you may notice, is a little longer this time. I went into a little greater detail explaining some of the miscellaneous revenues, the aging reports, and so forth. Was there any questions that you might have about those bullet points? I also added and this will be a kind of a rolling report moving forward, just a progress report on the performance objectives for this fiscal year as the last bullet point on it, or last item on my report.
I have a question about that.
Yes, go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I don't think we need as a board to see a month-to-month assessment of your progress unless one is completed even if it's completed, I think our expectation is you're going to do it all. And if there's an issue or a question or something, but I think it's, you know, unnecessary to see it month to month, especially when there's no real news there.
Would quarterly be
I'm the one that asked him to put it in, and I really would like to keep that so that we don't forget. And there is actually stuff to report in October, November, and then there's nothing to report until February, May. There's something to report in December. So basically October, November, December, February, so January, there's nothing to report. So there really is something to report almost every month.
I stand corrected on that, but it just seems like maybe it's something that the president and Mike can keep track of, but it seems almost, I haven't seen that for an administrator level that the board needs to see it month by month. I feel like when there's a glitch or an achievement, and that's great, but I feel like it's it's something that maybe should be between the president and the administrator until there's, unless there's a problem.
Any other opinions, discussions?
Well, I'm thinking about this because a lot of what is in your objectives, Mike, are now mirrors some of the things in the strategic plan. And I would recommend that, and maybe these things can get wrapped together, but I would recommend that the progress on the strategic plan be considered as something that we at least include in the board packet every month. And maybe those things then go hand in hand, because these items we've decided are are our important priorities. And I do think it's appropriate for the board to be looking every month. Are we where we wanted to be? So I don't know how you feel about putting those two things together, but we could get to that when we talk about the strategic plan.
Would it be appropriate to put the objective progress, my objective progress report and the strategic plan progress report in the consent calendar each month? Instead of putting it in my administrative report?
You're going to have to educate me again. Now, if something is in the consent calendar every month, can it be discussed, or is it intended that then it just be something that's just background?
From what I've seen, other boards, it is up for discussion. And if there's no discussion, then they just approve the consent calendar and move on. If there's maybe no changes, for example. But if there is any discussion, they can have discussion. They can actually make motions and act on them and so forth in the consent calendar. But it puts it in a place where if, say next month there was no change, no progress, everything's fine, then you just, it states that and you move on. And yeah, it doesn't have to be embedded in my report necessarily.
That might be the way to do it. Mm-hmm. Maybe we talk further when we look at the okay. Excel document. Mm-hmm.
The only other thing I wanted to focus on is, again, not to be redundant, but our call volume was down in August, 8% below normal, which is not horrible, but it is down. Transports were down 30% compared to last year. But again, our revenue is up almost 49% above budget and a little over 22% compared to last August. So I'm very appreciative of Simone's efforts to make that happen. And I recognize that.
As are we all.
Yes, so
thank you. Saving us.
yeah, there's a lot of organizations, as you all are well aware, that are having great challenges due to the COVID crisis financially. I get all these industry reports, as you know, and I read those every day around the country. There are EMS systems that are actually failing, going under because of this, and or struggling to even just pay to make payroll. And fortunately, we're doing much better than that. I'm very, very happy about that. Is there any other comments or questions about the financials? Like I said, I kind of went into greater detail. Start the process to have it. The goal is to have it completed by December this year, this time, instead of last year where it was completed in the fourth quarter. That's the plan. And I believe
you're freezing up.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm frozen.
Yeah, I thought it was just me, but I'm glad to hear it's not just me. I'll stop playing with my own computer.
Yeah, Mike, you're. I don't know whether you need to reboot.
Where did I leave off?
Oh, there he is.
Well, we sort of got the impression that you were talking about the audit report.
I'm going to stop the video.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, where did I leave you off?
You were talking about the audit report getting completed by December this year.
Ah, yes. Yeah, that's the plan. We're going to begin that process soon. Bill has, and I've been talking about, he's going to plan a finance committee meeting soon that we can start dealing with those details. And we'll be next month, we'll probably have a lot more to report on regarding that process. Is there any questions about the rest of my report?
I think it's noteworthy that we're $54,283.61 ahead of last year. Positive cash flow. Thank you everyone for that. Okay, if there are no other questions, I will move on to what I have to say as the president's report. Okay, so I just want to address the trust, basically. First of all, yesterday morning, I guess it was, we finally got, well, not yesterday morning did we get the check, but yesterday morning we did a modern 21st century deposit of a check from the California Community Foundation, Robert Reed Trust, for $1,500 into our Chase Trust account. So now we know how to do that, and it saves Mike driving to, or someone driving to Morro Bay to the nearest Chase branch to deposit it. So we can deposit, I think, if I remember what it said on the website, could deposit up to $10,000 a month. So if we get a check from the Cambria Community Council for, you know, more than $10,000, of course, we'll be happy to drive that one down. Okay, so so on that, and to address Barbara's question about advertising, I have talked to 8 of the 15 Cambria Council voting members, so a majority, including the president, the secretary, the vice president, the past president, you know, and so on and so forth. I have not heard one negative comment from any of those people regarding the request. I warned them that it was for a substantial amount of money as far as they're concerned. And the only thing voiced by the council chairman, who this year is Richard Clark, is that they've never made an award for that high an amount of money. So I said, in response to that, I said, any amount of money that the council can grant to us would be good. Now, at last speaking with those on the executive committee, it was not clear whether they were going to go and try to raise additional funds this year. The general consensus was that they were not going to, but I said we were not going to interfere with any fundraising on the part of the council. So once it's clear that they're not going to have a fundraising campaign, then I would propose that we then send out a mailer to basically the same addresses that we sent a mailer to about the survey. And we put in there a way for them to give, for people to give. Now, a way in which Mike has suggested we do that will not cost us a great deal of money. Maybe Mike can tell us how much it would be, but I have a feeling it's probably 5% or less. But there is a service that will but will be able to be linked from our website, and people can actually make a donation via credit card or any other means. And the service will deposit the funds directly to our trust account, and they will also send a confirmation of the donation to the donor for tax purposes. Mike, if you want to continue on that, but at any rate, to answer Barbara's question, the reason that I'm holding off, or I have asked Mike to hold off, is that I do not want to interfere in any fashion with what the council's doing. And so we may need to wait until they do their distribution of funds on the 1st of November, and then we can hit the ground running, be all prepared to send the mailer out shortly after the 1st of November.
Yeah, I think that in exactly what you said, we could prepare everything, you know, get a mailer ready, get all of our ducks in a row with it to launch, you know, all we have to do is flip the switch come the 1st of November, whenever it's appropriate. The service that Iggy was talking about, I've been looking at, I've talked with their support staff. It's called QGive. If you want to go to QGive.com, you can see it. But it makes it easy for people to make donations to your trust fund or anything, you know, any type of fundraiser. But it basically,
I'm sorry, you know what? I think I have a point of order, actually, and I'm sorry to have to do that, but to the best of my knowledge, this is exceeding a president's report. If we move on to make a decision regarding the expenditure of funds or changing a previous board vote. So I think what we need to do is put this on the agenda for the next meeting where we have the actual costs and benefits, and we can discuss it in a way that doesn't in any way violate the Brown Act.
Be happy
to. That's fine. That's kind of what I was going to suggest, is I'll prepare details for the next board meeting with that information. But just wanted to give you a kind of a broad overview of what I'm looking into that would improve the ability for people to donate funds. They could donate $5 if they want to, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and we ran into a difficulty during the prepared food initiative with the Lions Club, where people wanted to use credit cards to donate, and I ended up having to go back to people who tried to do that and tell them, sorry, we couldn't accept their credit card donations.
So I'll put together a package for next board meeting that has the details, make it an agenda item and so forth, and that's we'll be good to go.
Okay. Property and facilities, Barbara?
Quick report, kind of in concert with Mike, that we have been meeting with Chief William and Dave Pearson on updating the local hazard mitigation plan. And I think there's probably one more meeting. But basically what that is a document that allows us to be established with FEMA according about what our needs are, so that in the event there is a disaster, we are higher up in line because we've pre-stated that we're working on mitigating potential issues. So we'll probably get a draft put together, and it should go to the board to review to make sure that the board feels that we've represented our needs and issues appropriately.
Okay. Cecilia, healthcare advocacy and outreach.
And again, I've said this before, that the formal committee with Bart, we have two sort of spans of work right now. One is the continuation of the community leader forum. And on that front, we are trying to schedule a community town hall that would include Penny Borenstein. It's been extremely difficult to get their attention, even though Bruce has offered to help. And so we have not been able to pin down a date for that, but hopefully we'll hear back. I very much appreciate how busy they must be at the at the county level, but I think it would be well received if we were able to pull that on. Similarly, I think after meeting with CHC next week, that the committee will be brought together to discuss whatever comes out of that meeting and how to best move forward vis-a-vis the survey results and what I think is a very clearly expressed desire from the community to have choices in additional primary care services. So those things are both active, and that's my report.
Okay. By the way, I noticed on my way out of town yesterday that there was free COVID-19 testing being done at the Vets Hall again.
You know, that also just, so that was in Mike's report that they've scheduled another testing site. But I did start thinking when I was looking at our strategic plan about other things that may become important that maybe we ought to be thinking about. And one of them is both the flu vaccine as well as, and this may be a little ways away, but how, if there is a COVID-19 vaccine, I think we would be very well served to be thinking about how we might play a role in distribution of a COVID-19 vaccine in this community. Because, you know, today, as Barbara and I have discussed, it's difficult to even pull off a flu clinic. And so this may be something that the Health Advocacy Committee also should discuss is what options we may have to get ready for that.
Okay. Good idea. Finance, Bill.
Nothing to report, but we will be having a meeting before the next board meeting next month.
Okay. Try not to schedule it for September 29th. Or the following Tuesday?
Should we switch to telephone only?
I switched. I had to call, hang up and call back in. I don't know if it was just my problem or anybody else's.
No, it was everybody's, I think.
It was a Zoom bomb. And
yeah. Still I've never heard that before.
Okay. So you had nothing, Bill. Lori, grants?
Maybe we should redetermine a quorum.
We're all here.
Okay,
But Lori is muted. I don't know if she knows that. Lori, you need to unmute yourself. Or yourself. Mike, can you unmute her? You're muted too, Mike.
Sorry about that, Ying.
Now can you unmute Lori?
It only gives me an option to ask her to unmute. It doesn't give me any option to unmute her, so.
Can you write it on a large piece of paper and put it on the screen, maybe?
Oh, there she goes. She dropped off, so she's probably going to call back.
Yeah, I don't think, considering Lori's eyesight, I don't think that would help.
It could. Big enough.
Yeah.
We got Zoom bombed. This, just so you know, starting next meeting, we'll have a password to get into the meeting, and what they call a waiting room, and it gives me the control over who I let into the meeting. The public can still attend. I just have to look at them and make sure they're legit and then let them into the meeting. That'll prevent this from happening again.
Okay.
In future meetings. So.
I have a question. How would you determine if a person is legitimate and how would that apply to the public meeting requirements?
It's tricky, but, you know, like, well, you saw the activity, what they did, you know, the profanity and the silly cartoons, those are the folks that I would just block because they're obviously not a legit public member. Let me call, do you have Lori's number? I'll call her. We're going to call Lori and see if she'll log back in.
I don't have Lori.
Well, I'll give you Lori's. The cell number, of course, is the one she was using to call. That's 801-718-9846. But then her landline is 805-203-5333.
Oh,
there she is.
Oh.
No.
I'm back. I apologize.
Okay, no problem. So, you want to give your grants committee report, Lori?
Sure. We did meet Monday. We are working towards putting together a project narrative to request a ambulance funding for an ambulance through for the upcoming 2020 FEMA AFG cycle. And we anticipate that they will open that up sometime in October. And so probably the submission would go in November. And still awaiting the grants that are still pending. So that's kind of where we are at the moment.
And has the Property and Facilities Committee made a recommendation as to which type of ambulance is approved, or do we still need that?
I've been told that we're pursuing a type 3, and I think it's Tim's online. I think it's from Leader.
I think those were approved at the previous meeting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The previous Property and Facilities meeting?
No, the board meeting, we went through that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we approved purchase of the one from Cal Fire. I don't remember approving anything else, but my memory's not what it's been.
It's my memory that we went through all of that, but yeah, I could be wrong too. I thought we talked about it all.
I recall a discussion about the various options. In order to file for the grant, is the board supposed to approve a specific purchase?
Yeah, I would think that we would want to visit that at our October meeting. If the submission is required in November.
I think I need to go back to the previous minutes. I'm sorry too, but I thought that we had talked about those options in detail and approved taking this approach, purchasing the Cal Fire and going for a grant for the other, but.
Okay.
But it's a specific type of vehicle that Iggy's asking about, I believe. Correct?
Yeah, whether it's a type 2 or a type 3. Mm-hmm.
I believe that's what we discussed, because I couldn't have just, we wouldn't have just said, go, you know, get a grant for an ambulance. Anyway, yeah, I don't have those in front of me, but I can go back if you wish. I don't think we... I remember doing it, but there are a lot of things I remember doing lately that maybe I didn't do.
Well, I got the minutes right here. I see a Cal Fire ambulance procurement proposal, and that's the only thing that the board voted on. It ends with saying a new ambulance is 12 to 24 months away if we acquire this ambulance. Director Bronson Gray made a motion to approve the acquisition of the Cal Fire ambulance. Director Rice seconded. Board approved 5-0, and that's the only thing that's here.
Yeah, and I think we still have sufficient time. To, you know, the NOFO for the next AFG grants not due out till October. Lori's doing great work and with him to kind of get ready for that, but we have time to drill down and get the specifications of what we're asking for from that AFG grant process. The ones that, the examples I've given them of others that have received the same thing have been able to secure the type 3 type ambulances with when they did it. So we can bring that back to the board in October with defined specifics before we move forward with the actual application.
Okay. Strategic planning. Well, I guess
we can either
do it here or the very next agenda item, which is E1, also strategic planning.
Let's go to E1, forward progress.
All right.
Okay, so I have a question of how this works in a public meeting, but to advance the strategic plan, I have taken the liberty of working on our tracking document so that it contained sort of where we are specifically in terms of the goals underneath each item. And I was wondering if it wasn't in the packet, is it okay to share screen and just give the board an overview of that?
Yeah, I talked to Mike earlier and he said there was a way for him to give you the ability to do a screen share. However, we've lost Mike.
How? That's odd. You would think we wouldn't still be in the call if we lost Mike. Go ahead, Lori.
So my issue is the only way I can manage this meeting is to pull up the board minutes on my iPad so I can visualize them that way, since I can't read them from print. So if you share it on the screen, I won't be able to see it. So that's because I'm not in the Zoom. I'm using my phone to access Zoom.
Right. And I had thought about you specifically, Lori, and I think just for providing I wouldn't be sharing as an action item, but for your benefit, I thought I would go through each thing aloud.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, that's okay. Fine. Yeah.
I also can't seem to get my mouse to work right now.
And I'm calling
you. I'm also trying to reach the district.
All right, I'm going to go get a battery for my mouse.
Hey, Simone, this is Iggy. You guys have dropped off. Oh. All right, thanks. Bye. They lost their internet connection.
Oh, no.
Oh, Jesus.
Can they join us by phone?
They're trying to reestablish the internet connection right now.
Okay.
Because there's a document that Cecilia is going to walk us through and limitations with, I know Barbara's on the phone and it's easier for Lori, if she has it beforehand, to go through. Does it make sense to have Cecilia send this document to the board members in preparation for the next board meeting and carry this item over to the next board meeting?
Makes sense to me.
Me too.
I'm happy to do that. That may make more sense. I think can I provide a few highlights just in anticipation of that? The goal of this particular document, separate from the longer strategic planning document, this document is 2 pages. And what it does is it takes each of our high level objectives and puts some detail underneath that. And with the accountable people, and I have tried to mirror, for example, some of the timeframes that Mike set forward in his goals, and some of our updated information about where we are with certain other things. So you'll see that. The only other thing I would highlight for you, each bar, is its own section. I added a section that's not in our strategic plan with your permission. I don't know if it belongs in the strategic plan, but I put a little tracking category for COVID-19 response. I think it's important enough to be tracking, maybe as a temporary item, hopefully in our strategic plan. But otherwise, I am happy to send this out to you and sort of give you some information about what I'm looking for and your feedback so that we can finalize.
Okay, so we're moving that to next month. Barbara, do you want to talk about your item then, E2?
Well, it's both Mike and me together are presenting this item. I think the cover sheet says it all. In short, it seemed like in the environment in which we live and work, the world and nation as it is, that it makes sense both clinically and philosophically to develop some sort of a approach or an alertness to the possibility of creating opportunities for people who are represent diversity to our town and for the people we serve, including visitors. So this resolution is simply to provide a philosophical basis, if you will, for our administrator and staff to have the license to look for ways that we might be able to build staff gradually with reflecting the diversity of our county.
And just for everyone's information, between full and part-time employees, we currently have 11 female and one male and one female Hispanic. I don't remember the number at this point. Oh, Mike's back. I think, welcome back, Michael.
We're back, yeah. We lost our internet for some reason.
Let's see, is Tim there?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so what's our total headcount, part-time and full-time? Is it 33?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, and then 11 of those are female.
Correct.
Which is a little bit better than the national average in the information that Barbara furnished us. But, of course, for us to develop further diversity is a good thing, of course. And so if there's any discussion regarding the resolution, please come forward and discuss. Otherwise, I call for a vote.
This is Bill. I totally support this resolution. I think it's something very important. In fact, we should periodically, as a board, revisit this type of thing. And I would like to make a motion that the board accept the resolution 16-20 as written.
Second.
I second.
Hey. Hey, Bill, you're blocking your camera. all right, Simone, or is there any further discussion? If not, then Simone, would you do a roll call vote, please?
Yes. Iggy Fedorov?
Yes.
Bill Rice?
Yes.
Barbara Bronson Gray?
Yes.
Lori Millior?
Yes.
Cecilia Montalvo?
Yes.
Okay, the only thing we need to do is take the time to come down and sign the resolution. I may be able to do that later today, Mike.
I will prepare the document for signature of, typically it would be the president and board secretary, so
yep.
Unless you have any other suggestions, I'll prepare that for both.
That would be good. Okay, so then the last item on our agenda is changing the bylaws to permit holding the meeting on Thursdays instead of Wednesdays. What precipitated this was the inability of one of our directors to participate in Wednesday meetings. So the agenda item E3 talks about changing the bylaws from holding the meetings on Wednesday at 1 o'clock each month to Thursday at 1 o'clock each month. And for Cecilia's benefit, I guess, well, the discussion says it. I mean, originally the board used to meet at night. Then, and I don't know what the reason was to move it to daytime, but I do know that the reason we chose Wednesdays at 1 o'clock was to facilitate the editor of the Cambrian coming in and attending the meeting and then writing an article that would then be published in the following week's Cambrian. Well, that doesn't happen anymore. And so there isn't any need to accommodate that news outlet. Anyway, so I think just moving it by one day also allows for our administrator to attend the monthly North Coast Advisory Council meeting that occurs 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday, the third Wednesday of each month. Mike, you did attend for part of yesterday's meeting. Maybe you want to share with the board what the purpose of that was.
Yes, exactly. And what I did, it was during their open comment section, public comment of items on the agenda. I just made them aware because they are involved in the planning, overall planning process for our community, that I had received a letter notifying us, as we are within 1,000 feet of this proposed project, that there is a company that is seeking a permit from the county for a cannabis distribution center located down the street from us. It's the building that houses currently the JJ Pizza and there's a barber shop and much of the stuff in there. But to the right of that, there's a CBD business. They're looking apparently to expand that to a cannabis distribution delivery service. So I just wanted to share that letter that we were notified of their intent with that council. So I did that last night at the meeting and there was no discussion. It was just other than Bruce Gibson said that he's aware of it and there's a long process, including a public forum type meeting for pros and cons that will occur before that permit's ever issued, if at all.
Okay, any other discussion?
Yes. Hi. I'm sorry, Bill.
I have a question. Are we required legally in our bylaws to include a specific date and time of the monthly meeting? Or can we simply say that the board will meet monthly at a date and time to be determined that would be properly notified under the Brown Act to the general public?
That's a good
question. All I can tell you is what the bylaws say right now, and I don't
know. My understanding is that bylaws don't. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
My understanding is that they do not have to be in the bylaws. They do have to be stated on the website. It's more of a. But I could be. I that's my understanding. Mm-hmm. It's typically in the bylaws, I think, because it's guidance to directors and new directors about how the places generally run.
I was just looking for ongoing flexibility for the board to schedule meetings as opposed to being locked into a specific date and a specific time. I totally agree with that. We should be locked in to a monthly meeting unless there's some emergency that would preclude that, but I'm not sure it makes sense to lock us into a specific date and time.
And the truth of the matter is, we've shown, is that things occur where we have to change the regular meeting anyway. So the bylaws aren't purely directive. They inherently allow us to have flexibility. So I don't think, I'd like to see them out of the bylaws. I have another concern, which is the choice of Thursday at 1 in terms of our
you know, we want to move it away from the NCAC meeting, but we also have the CCSD meeting on Thursdays. And because we work with the fire department and have a lot of interactions with the community services district, and our public is interested in both agencies, I think we should avoid having it at the same time as the CCSD.
What time on Thursday is their meeting, Barbara?
As far as I know, it's typically 1 o'clock.
Oh, I thought it was 2. I thought it was 2 o'clock.
Oh, 2 o'clock. I mean, it's early afternoon.
Okay.
So perhaps the other factor, of course, is that after the election, it's possible that that you will, as a board, need to think of another time, because you'll have people who may need different times of day and all that.
I personally like the idea of taking the specifics out of this for the flexibility. I would note, as the person who had the Wednesday conflict, my particular conflict will be over in December. And so if we leave this as a monthly meeting or whatever the bylaws need to say, I do think it provides, if we could continue to make Thursdays work for a month or two, and then revisit, we wouldn't have to go back to the bylaws to do that.
Okay, so I can amend my recommendation to read, regular meetings of the board of directors will be held monthly.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I second that motion.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, Simone, would you take a vote, please?
Iggy Fedoroff?
Yes.
Bill Rice?
Yes.
Barbara Bronson Gray?
Yes.
Lori Melior?
Yes.
Cecilia Montalvo?
Yes.
I have a request to make, and that is that in the next couple of months, whatever date we choose for our monthly meeting, that there be an ability of unanimous ability of the board members to attend a meeting that we select, a meeting date and time.
So, in other words, the note you sent around a couple of months ago, you're don't want to comply with that, I guess. So that's fine.
Wait, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you said.
Oh, you sent an email out saying, you know, whenever you decide to have a board meeting, if I can attend, I'll attend. If I can't, I'll pass.
Yeah, I was trying to be flexible, but I think that it would be fair. And since we're not establishing a date that we can plan around, and we have a lot of important issues on the table for the end of this session, if you will, that it would be fair to everybody to make sure that everybody has the ability to attend if they wish to.
Certainly seems desirable.
Yeah, it's desirable.
Well, it also seems fair because, I mean, we changed it because one member had a problem and we all respect that. But now that we're in switch mode, I think it's important to, you know, give everybody a chance since they can't pre-plan. Right now, I have no idea when next month's meeting is, for example. I think it's also fair to the public to, to have some advance notice of these things.
I think the best thing to do is at the end of each meeting is to determine when the next meeting will be held. And so for next month, it's supposed to be October 15th. And I would suggest, since this seemed to work, that we meet again at 9 o'clock in the morning, if no one has any objection. It's not going to conflict with anything the CCSD has, and it doesn't conflict with what Cecilia is doing, and I believe it doesn't conflict with what Barbara might have planned.
I actually have an appointment that morning.
Well, do you want to do it at 1 o'clock then?
I've just is argued, I think, is that the CCSD meeting?
What difference does it make?
The 15th of October is the third Thursday of the month, because it's a little weird.
Right, that's it is in a CCSD meeting. I don't have the CCSD meetings filed in my calendar.
I know, but
but if you make the argument that you that we want to be able to be available for the NCAC, then clearly the organization with which we work closely, and the dominance of that meeting in town, if someone did want to come and speak on a matter, it's not wise to have it on the exact date and time, even for a variety of reasons. But
would 9 a.m. work next month?
Well, no, she just said 9 a.m. wouldn't work for her because she's got some sort of appointment.
I would know.
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear that part.
Just by way of trying to get something scheduled, I know that for me personally, my conflict is in the afternoon. If Wednesday at 9 a.m. is something that works for people, that would work for me.
That works for me.
That would make it the 21st, being the third Wednesday, just timing wise.
So the third Wednesday is the 21st?
Yes, and that is the date it would have been. It would just be at 9 instead of 1, which personally works for me, but that's, I don't know how it works for others.
It works for me.
It works for me.
Lori?
Works for me.
I think it works for me.
Okay. So the next regular meeting of the board will be October 21st at 9 a.m. And the only future agenda item at this point that I noted was strategic plan detail. And new ambulance procurement.
Yes, we also need to have the resolution about the the healthcare benefit resolution and an update on trust outreach.
And if possible, could we agendize a discussion around COVID-19 response?
Yes.
I'm writing all this down.
Trust. Trust. What do we want to call that? Trust.
Trust outreach update.
Outreach update. Okay. Okay. So strategic plan detail, new ambulance procurement, grant. I guess. Grant application.
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare benefit resolution. COVID-19 response. Discussion or what?
Yeah, that's fine.
And then trust outreach update. Anything else?
I'm wondering, how about agendizing? I mean, this agenda is all of a sudden getting very full, but the primary care initiative, I think we'll have some information at that time that would be worthy of a board discussion.
Primary care initiative. Discussion, right? Or just,
correct.
We'll just call
it
primary.
I think it's just a discussion, yeah.
All right, discussion.
Yeah.
Got it.
All right, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 items. Anything else?
Yep.
Okay, if there's nothing else, then this meeting is adjourned at 10:20 a.m. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.